So we're calling this message Surprising Hospitality. Firstly, because the Sunday Club lads are with us, and I was meant to be in those two places at once, and that was a bit of a surprise. And secondly, because in our series on hospitality, we see a surprising way of hosting Jesus. But as we shall see, it's not only a story that we learn in Sunday school about Jesus being nice to a short man. There's much, much more going on. Perhaps much more than we learn even in Sunday school. So let's establish some facts. Oh, by the way, boys, I might be asking some questions as I go through, and I might expect an answer. Is that all right? Grand. They don't know what's coming up. It's not that bad. So, boys, you've got the answer written in front of you. What's the name of the place where Jesus is?
Jericho.
Jericho, correct. 10 points, if I was giving points. So, Jericho. We also know that Jesus is on his way to the holy city, Jerusalem. If we read just a little bit further on in Luke chapter 19, we read that Jesus is planning to go to Jerusalem, the holy city. Only about 20 miles away, but over rocky, dangerous roads. And you'll probably remember the story of the Good Samaritan. And that's where that is set, on the road from Jerusalem to Jericho. Dangerous road. The verses after we read today talk about that. And so the first thing I wonder about this passage is whether or not Jesus was planning to stay in Jericho, or whether he was going to motor on through to get to Jerusalem, because that was his mission. To me, this is a bit of a watershed moment to go over to Jerusalem or stay, because it seems to me maybe Jesus knew Zacchaeus, or maybe he just had some godly inspiration, because Jesus knew Zacchaeus by name. Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house. Could well have been a surprise for Zacchaeus, but we'll come back to him in just a moment. So a bit about Zacchaeus in a moment, but more about Jesus now. Because the book of Luke is full of Jesus eating meals. He's so popular that he's invited to someone's house all the time. Tim Chester's book, A Meal with Jesus, it's very, very good, very readable, helps explain a number of these occasions. In our evening Bible studies, we're going through the book of Luke at the moment. And at the end of chapter 5, beginning of chapter 6, Jesus has been invited to a party of another tax collector, this time named Levi, who we know as Matthew. Here there are a lot of people, including Pharisees, the people who want to keep the religious rules right on track. And so they ask Jesus then, "Why do you eat and drink with such scum?" That's the New Living Translation version. Why do you eat with them? But such as other English versions translate this word sinners, because it sounds much more acceptable. In Luke's gospel, Jesus is always in trouble when it comes to food. His predecessor, John the Baptist, got in trouble for not eating and drinking. In Luke chapter 7 and verse 34, we have the famous words of Jesus, "For John came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and you say he's a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and you say he's a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of sinners and tax collectors." It seems that Jesus doesn't get it right. He doesn't get the balance right between what the Pharisees want him to do and the people who just aren't hung up on the religiousness of things. And so in our story today, the people around him are surprised by Jesus calling Zacchaeus down from the tree. Boys, any ideas why it was a surprise that Jesus called Zacchaeus down from the tree? Any thoughts?
Maybe because Zacchaeus, everyone thought, was bad.
So maybe Zacchaeus thought he was bad, or everyone thought Zacchaeus
everyone
was bad?
Thought Zacchaeus was, like, bad.
Yeah, so maybe everyone thought Zacchaeus was bad because he was the worst of the sinners, maybe? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me explain that, because I think you're absolutely right there, Matthew. This man, although he was small in stature, might also feel small socially. Tax collectors today are unpopular. If paying tax today is unpopular, and it means that we don't always see our tax go from our pensions or our pay or however it goes, it just kind of goes through our bank accounts or somehow. Think how it must have been for somebody to sit in a tax booth all day collecting money from people. So it was never great to be a tax collector. The next thing we notice about Zacchaeus is that he was a chief tax collector. These officers would have been known as publicans, not because he ran a pub, but because he held a public duty. And so tax collectors would collect taxes from anything almost that moved. Imports, exports, if you're living by the coast, harbour taxes. Zacchaeus would collect duty from anything that moved. Anything that he thought was worthy of having a tax put on it. He's risen through the trusted ranks of being a high position into a high position, which draws a nice, healthy salary with benefits, of which the greatest seems to be defrauding people. So chief tax collector Zacchaeus, to make things worse, is also a Jew. His name, according to my research, says that his name means pure. And to those who hate paying taxes, he's siding with the employers, the despised, hated Romans who occupied that area. And so he is anything but pure. Tax collectors, especially the chiefs, were associated with ideas of the oppressed, the oppressor, with injustice. And so, I guess, in short, Zacchaeus was really, really unpopular. As a tax collector, he was the worst of the worst. So you were right there, Matthew. Having money and taking money from Joe Average was the most oppressive thing. For Jewish people, if you touched the money or the tax collector, you became defiled. And so for me, the surprising key to opening this story isn't that Jesus calls a short man down from the tree. It's not even the surprise that Zacchaeus was chosen by Jesus to be a guest, although we'll return to that point in a moment. The key to understanding this whole story is how the people responded. How the people responded. And its application about how we respond. The sinner, in this case, Zacchaeus, is the outcast. Zacchaeus is the hated outsider. Jesus sees him and tells him he's coming to stay. Tax collectors would be screwing the system all the time, and so it seems incredible that Jesus would invite himself to the outsider's house for tea. Zacchaeus, the outsider, surprisingly, goes to offer hospitality to the Messiah, the chosen one. Not because Zacchaeus offered, but because the Messiah chose. The one who was not good enough. The one who was shunned by society. The one who, perhaps for his own safety, would sit by himself in his tax booth every day. The Messiah chose him. And so you see, when people tell us things, even untrue things about us, the words and the sense of feelings attached to them, they'll stick. Things like, you're not good enough, you are an accident, you never fitted here, you're not welcome. Those sorts of things, maybe we have believed those hurtful words. And we start to build up a negative view of ourselves, and we start to become those things that we have been told. And we feel shunned. We feel judged unfairly. And so perhaps we climb a metaphorical tree or sit in a metaphorical tax booth alone. So here's the next question. Why, boys, why was Zacchaeus in the tree?
So he could see Jesus.
So he could see Jesus. Yes, absolutely. Well said. Yes. And why couldn't he see Jesus?
Because he was a small man.
Because he was a small man. Thank you very much indeed, Luke. So Zacchaeus was in the tree because he was short and he wanted to see Jesus. And there are times in our lives when maybe we feel small. Those times, perhaps in school, where someone always shouts out the answer first, so it makes you feel a little bit silly because your brain doesn't work maybe as quickly as someone else's. Maybe Zacchaeus was in the tree because he wanted to get a better view of Jesus, but didn't want to get involved. Perhaps he thought that Jesus wouldn't see him there. Perhaps that was the real reason that Zacchaeus was in the tree. Because people didn't like tax collectors, and by staying out of people's way, Zacchaeus wouldn't be standing by the roadside alone. In a tree, Zacchaeus wouldn't feel small. He would be head and shoulders above the rest. Maybe that's like you or me as well. Maybe in places we don't feel welcome. Not because you're short, but for maybe other reasons. Maybe you're on your own. Maybe you don't feel holy enough to come to Jesus. Maybe you feel a little bit like Zacchaeus, up a tree, which is code for being lonely or excluded. Or by yourself. Maybe wanting to see how things pan out, but not wanting to get involved. Perhaps you're in the tree because you feel judged by somebody else. And when someone says, I actually want to spend time with you. I want to spend time with you. Jesus is pointing to you, Zacchaeus. He invites you to spend time with him. He invites you to join him. He invites you to come down. He wants to spend time with you. Yes, you. Yes, today. Jesus is pressing his desire for you to be hospitable towards him. Him and nobody else. You see, that's the difference between the party in Luke chapter 5 or Luke chapter 6 with Levi the tax collector. Jesus is the one invited, and there are others there, wanting to ask questions about his food, about his drinking, and enjoying the party with others. But now, Jesus is the host. He is offering to be the host at Zacchaeus' house. He is offering the hospitality. That's a surprise. No preparation needed. Just come home. He's inviting Zacchaeus to spend time with him alone. One-to-one, because Zacchaeus, you're that special. When Jesus invites us to join him, to come home, because that's another translation of the word repentance, according to my friend Andrew Emerson. When we're invited to come home, transformation occurs. Zacchaeus experiences that transformation. He promised he would change his life of stealing money from people. He promised Jesus. There's something amazing about Jesus that changes people's lives. And then it's that transformation that people see and glorify God, because that's what it says in Matthew chapter 5. Shine like stars. The people standing by in nearby to Zacchaeus would be absolutely gobsmacked. They would be indignant, annoyed, frustrated, angry, perturbed, confused by this invitation of Jesus, who invited him to come, invited himself to come to the tax collector's house. They weren't ready to come home that day. Their hearts weren't ready for repentance, for they believed they were already home, spiritually speaking. But Jesus knows the whole story. And so he says, salvation has come to this home today. For this man, Zacchaeus, has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who were lost. You see, Jesus knew Zacchaeus's heritage. Often, it's people who aren't of the club, aren't Jewish, that Jesus kind of just kind of spends time with. He knew how hard it must have been for him to have taken a job as a tax collector. How easy it would have been for Zacchaeus to have fallen into perhaps dodgy ways of defrauding his fellow man. Yet Jesus makes no judgment about how the tax collector runs his life. He simply invites Zacchaeus to come home. And because of this invitation, something more miraculous occurs. Zacchaeus' transformation involves giving half his wealth to people who have nothing. And he turns away from his fraud, offering back four times much as he had taken. Jesus didn't tell Zacchaeus to do that. But out of a heartfelt transformation, something surprising occurred. Jesus loved people purely because they were people. Jesus loved people purely because they were people. And so if I stand to follow Jesus, I must choose to love people because they are people. Isn't it surprising that how an insignificant story is actually a really big story? How that little but big story changed one person's life, but it wasn't just about one person's life, because it was a story that somehow someone thought was really, really important enough to write into their account of Jesus, and that people are even talking about and thinking about today. And so when we talk about surprising hospitality, we're not just talking about smiling at people. We're talking about going deep. We're talking about really investing time to find out how others tick. We're investing in that kingdom life that loves people for who they are, no matter where they've been or what state they're in. And taking time over food is the perfect excuse to do that, because food, apart from fast food, takes time. It means that we slow down. We eat and we enjoy company and we share. So food helps us to go deep. That's why I believe our hospitality here at Main Street, that's where it begins, but it never ends, around a brew or a cake or a sandwich at lunchtime. Because actually it's about relationship and it's about sharing our walk with God. That's just an excuse. You know, the food is just an excuse to be with someone. Because when that happens, we find and we offer and we receive hospitality. When Jesus sits around a table, there's always something deeper going on. That's the heart of hospitality. It's going deeper. It's sitting with someone. Sometimes talking and learning. Sometimes being in the silence, in the pain, in the tears. There's trust in that time spent together. That's the surprising hospitality which Zacchaeus encountered. And so the challenge for us today as we close is, how do we offer deep hospitality, not just to one another, but as we saw earlier, to the world? How do we offer deep hospitality to one another and to the world? Let's pray.